Brother Dan, and very good morning to my dear brothers and sisters. Lovely to be with you. It's hard to believe, because time flies so quickly, doesn't it, that I've been a member here now at East for coming up for a year and a half. And it's amazing. And we've very much enjoyed our time together, sojourning with you to the kingdom of God. Great opportunity to get to know our brothers and sisters in more detail and get to know you all, and for you to get to know us. But there's something I want to tell you about me that you may not know, and you know, it may come as a bit of a surprise for you, and that is this. I don't go to the gym. I know, right? It's it may be difficult to understand. Now, why am I telling you that? Well, and believe you me, I've tried. I've tried to go to the gym. I remember getting a three-day pass once, and on the first day, I arrived all keen with all my new kit and everything, and I walked in from the car park into the reception just as they were stretchering a chap out into an ambulance. And all that's not a good start. I won't tell you, bore you with all the other details, but suffice it to say, you never fall off a treadmill with any dignity, and you only do it once. So why am I talking to you about the gym? Well, the gym, of course, is a word that's short for gymnasium. And it's worth reminding ourselves that it comes from the original Greek word, gymnazo. And it's a Greek word that's used in scripture quite a lot, particularly in the New Testament. And what is a gym? A gym is a place where you go to get fit and to train for an event, whether it be a football match or a race. And you remember during lockdown, we had that very annoying Joe Wicks, and annoyingly enthusiastic, getting the nation fit every day with these online fitness exercises and workouts. And there's been many pushes from the government to try and get us fit, to do the couch to 5K. And now fitness, of course, is a multi-billion pound industry with triathlons, marathons, half marathons oversubscribed, so I'm told. And when people go into events like marathons and half marathons, they do it by training, don't they? You can't really run 26 miles or 13 miles without preparing for it first, unless if you're Jack, who tried to do a half marathon without training for it. And we got a phone call from St. John's Ambulance saying, Jack is in there with a poorly knee. I'm sorry if you're not embarrassing your children, you're not doing your job properly, in my opinion. But anyway, why am I talking to you about the gym? Well, you know, in our journey to the kingdom, it requires a great deal of preparation and training and practice, doesn't it? It's a well-rehearsed theme in the scriptures. Now, who remembers Steve Ovett? Now, that's kind of one for the teenagers, I think. But he competed in the, I think it was the 1980 Moscow Olympics. His great rival was Sebastian Coe. And I remember watching the two of them race, and he was racing in the 800 meters, which actually was Coe's sort of preferred race, and he beat him. And I remember watching it and hearing the commentator, David Coleman, and he described Steve Ovett as running the race of his life. And that made me think, you know, the race of his life. He got a gold medal at the end of it. But the race that we're on, brothers and sisters, is a far more important race than that. Now, I'll tell you what I mean. Let's turn together to Hebrews chapter 12. And these are incredibly well-known words. But it reminds us that what we're doing today is we are running a race. It's a very important race. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the apostle says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And so the Apostle Paul is exhorting us to run the race of our lives, the race of eternal life. And in order to run that race, brothers and sisters, he requires that we remove anything that's going to slow us down or to get in the way. And the Apostle Paul, of course, was a man who travelled extensively, didn't he? And he would have no doubt been acquainted with the Greeks' obsession for the games. And we're not just talking about Olympics here. Olympics have been around in the days of the Apostle Paul for many hundreds of years. In fact, the Olympics were just part of a four, what they called, I think, the Pan-Hellenic Games. There was the Olympic Games every 4 years in Olympia. There was another race called, I think, the Pythian Games. That was also held every 4 years. There was the Nemean Games. They were held every 2 years in the city of Corinth, as were the Isthmian Games, which was held in the Isthmus of Corinth. And so lots of sporting activity, and the Greeks were absolutely obsessed with the games, and places like Corinth were, you know, real sport-mad cities. And the Greeks, I think, from what I read, they used to kind of judge time measure time by the regularity of the games. And the victors at these games were huge celebrities in the city of Corinth. And what the Apostle Paul does very beautifully here is he interweaves a lot of these kind of expressions that are connected to the games and to competing in the games that maybe the believers at Corinth would have been able to very easily relate to. And there's a couple of words, and I'll just mention them to you. The first one is the word athleo. And it means to contend in the public games. And it's where we get, of course, the word athlete from. There's gymnos, where it's talking about training, gymnasium. There's brabion, which is to contend in the public games. Stephanus, we know, is the symbol of triumph in the games. And stadion, where we get the English word stadium from. And I guess with the Apostle Paul being so well-travelled, he would be familiar with the games and the culture at the time, which would include the interest in the games. And when he wrote to the believers at Corinth, he interweaves a lot of these wonderful ideas into his letter. He may have been, when he was in Corinth at the time, because I think he was in Corinth for about 18 months, so there's a very good chance he would have been in the city when the games were on. And so we'd like to today, by way of exhortation, is to think about some of these ideas that the Apostle Paul weaves in his epistles to help us prepare ourselves for the most important of the race of life, the race to eternal life. And the games in those days were a bit different to what we know today, because competitors would put themselves forward to compete in the game, not like today where you have sort of you join a club and then you go into heats and then you get pushed forward and then you go and compete in the games. People would do this at their own expense and their own initiative. And when we think of the Apostle Paul and take these things to a kind of spiritual level, and we think about our own discipleship, this is very much a personal decision. It's something that we have decided to embark upon, a race to eternal life, and it's something that we need to constantly train for. Now, it was customary in those days, of course, to compete for the games naked and without clothes, which, you know, it might make us feel a little bit squeamish, but it was, you know, partly due to the heat and partly to try and remove anything that would potentially slow them down. You know, we wouldn't think of running in a big long robe, would we, for example? And as you may know, the Greek word naked is the word gymnos. You know, it's the base of where we get the word gymnasium from. It's this idea of training for the games. Now, if you listen to any sports coach, they often talk about the five D's associated with training for any sport, really. And those five D's are discipline, direction, dedication, diligence, and determination. And so by way of dissertation, we'd like to have a look at some of these aspects, the five D's of training, and apply them to our spiritual grace. Let's start with discipline. Let's think about that for a moment. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So we're now reading a letter that was written to the believers in Corinth, this sport-mad city. And he, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, delivers these words that are connected to the games and connected with this idea of running a race. 1 Corinthians 9, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? And that word is that brabion, a prize in the public games. And so the exhortation is so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery, and that word there, striving for the mastery, is again a word associated with the games, is to contend in the Olympic Games or the gymnastic games, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, as Stephanus. But we, brothers and sisters, an incorruptible. So how does that tie in with discipline? Well, I looked at the Amplified Bible of those verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it says verse 25, and this is how the Amplified Version translates it. It says, now every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. So in order to run this race, we need to have discipline or self-control, one of the five D's. Not easy, but of course, it is achievable. What is the remedy for it? Well, in Hebrews chapter 5, we're told in verse 13 that everyone that uses milk, we're told, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat, we're told, belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, gymnazo, to exercise naked in the school of athletics, by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so our exercise routine, brothers and sisters, in the truth, is all about stripping away the old man in order that we might be clothed with the new man, to train in our spiritual gymnasium and be prepared to run for the race. And where is our spiritual gymnasium? Well, it's here, isn't it? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but it's like going to the gym. It's not always easy. And without training, the athlete will not be able to compete in the race without success. So that's the first D, discipline. The second one is direction. And I think it's a universal fact amongst sportsmen is that in order to train for a particular event or a race, they kind of need to have a goal in mind, something to aim for. And there's probably a few reasons for that. It's something to motivate them and to kind of push them on. And secondly, you kind of need something to measure yourself against to sort of see what progress. And I suppose you might look at different timings in a race. You time yourself and try and beat your previous times. And I guess as brothers and sisters in Christ running our own spiritual race, we should be kind of doing the same things, having a clear goal in our sights. Just turn with me again to some words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy this time in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul at the end of his life, he says these words to Timothy. He says, I have fought, verse 7, a good fight and finish my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteousness, will give me at that day, not only to me, but also to all those that love his appearing. And I read somewhere that in the ancient games, it was quite customary to take the Stephanus, the victory crown, and to put it on the finishing post. You know, it was something that people could look to, and that was their goal that they were running to try and win, to have it on the finishing post as a kind of, I suppose, an incentive while they are running. It's to visualize the crown of righteousness and what it would be like to wear it. And that's really what we do, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Remember the words of that we quoted at the beginning in Hebrews 12, where it says, let us lay aside every sin, every weight and the sin that easily besets us, run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And that word looking there is the idea of fixing your gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And quite often, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but when you watch people like in the 100 meters, just before the race starts, they have this kind of fixed stare, don't they? They're gazing on the end, 100 meters away, really, really concentrating. And we, brothers and sisters, are to fix our gaze on the Lord Jesus, who is the author and finisher, who ran a perfect race and achieved that victory. Dedication is the other D. When you think about some of the greatest sportsmen that have reached the pinnacle of their careers and their sports, one of the things they have in common is their dedication. You often hear of people saying, well, how did you get? And a lot of it is talent, of course, but they're always the first to arrive at training. They're always the last to leave. They often train and kind of develop muscle memory and are really dedicated to their sport. And in order to do that, brothers and sisters, what do they have to do? Well, they have to make sacrifices in their lives. They need to be there on the training pitch when other people are in bed in the mornings or going out in the evenings. And they dedicate themselves to their sport and despite what's going on around them. And the spiritual athlete is no different. If you've still got your fingers in 1 Timothy, just look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 at some words of advice that the exhortation that Paul gives to Timothy. And he says, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. And as you would expect, that word exercise is our word gymnazo, to practice naked in the games. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Why? Because verse 8, bodily exercise profits little, or it profits just for a short time. But godliness is unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So all of the great athletes that we've seen over the years, they've achieved greatness because of an awful lot of hard work. And I remember a brother saying to me once, or he may have actually said it in an address, he said that it's really important that we've not yet received our laurels, so we better not rest upon them. And I thought those were sort of wise words. And so it's all about being single-minded. But is it all about being single-minded? Because actually our race, brothers and sisters, is a race that we all run together. And I think it's really, really important as part of our training is that we look after each other and that we encourage one another in these things. Well, let's have a look at some words of the Apostle Paul again, this time in writing to the Philippians. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul uses this word athleo, where we get the word athlete. But actually, interestingly, in this chapter, Paul adds something in to the word athleo, and he adds the letters S-U-N, son athleo. And it provides a completely different viewpoint. Verse 27, he says, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. And that's that word synathleia, striving together as athletes, working together jointly in the games for the faith of the gospel. So dedication is one of the five D's. The next one is diligence. Another very important aspect of our training, brothers and sisters, we need to know the rules. And all competitors, whatever sport they're in, they need to understand the rules of the sport that they're competing in. You know, for many athletes, if you flout the rules, then that leads to disqualification. False starts are a classic, aren't they? We've all seen people train for 4 years and then they jump the gun and they get disqualified. Imagine how horrendously disappointing that must and heartbreaking that must be. And so we need to study the word to make sure that we understand exactly what is expected of us. And it's the same for the spiritual athlete, to stick very closely to the word. I remember reading an article by Brother Robert Roberts in Seasons of Comfort. And he has one of his Seasons of Comfort addresses was entitled The Race for Life, Strangers and Sojourners, I think it was called. And he was basing it on Hebrews chapter 12. And this is what he said. He said, the race for life eternal, there are many things lawful enough in the abstract that viewed in relation to the object to be attained are highly inexpedient and are to be laid aside. So what he's saying is there are many things we can do that maybe don't seem all that wrong, but are they expedient for us? And then he goes on to say that we should strip away all the things that are going to hold us back. He then says it's a simple and a safe and a reasonable and a wise rule, that one that will give us much pleasure and much cause for joy at the last, is if we are to dispense with every habit, every pleasure or occupation or friend that hinders our way in the narrow way. And it's a very important part, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Paul says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. And how do we do that? Well, we don't be conformed to the things of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The final D is determination. I suppose it's a bit of time for honesty here, because, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? The narrow way is not easy. Sometimes a bit like an athlete, we have to push ourselves through the pain barrier. And you often hear about footballers who get a kind of a long-term injury and they get interviewed on the television and they say, it's horrendous. You know, while all the other players are going out playing football and training and enjoying time together, I'm stuck in the treatment room, you know, going through some pretty intense physiotherapy in order to get fit again. And it's really, really tough. And life in the truth is difficult. In Hebrews chapter 12 again, we're told that, well, we're given the reassurance that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now, what has that got to do with the spiritual athlete, you may ask? Well, in verse 11 of Hebrews 12, we get the answer. Because the apostle says that no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, what it does is it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised thereby. And there we have our word again, gymnazo, to practice naked in the games, to strip away the old man. And that's the exercise that we need to do in order to gain the wonderful, peaceable fruit of righteousness, brothers and sisters. So we need to have that endurance, don't we? You know, we have to have that clear training regime. It's very difficult. You know, I'm sure these athletes, you know, when they have to be up at 5 a.m. to go swimming, you know, they probably wake up and want to stay in a nice warm bed, particularly in the winter. Dark outside, it might be raining. I remember I started trying to do a bit of cycling once, and I used to go out there and drop a leaf, and if it didn't fall completely vertically, I thought, whoa, it's too windy out there, and I'd just give up. You know, it might be foggy, we might lose where we're going, we might get lost, it might be snowing, we might stumble, we might fall and hurt ourselves. But actually, brothers and sisters, in the truth, we have a wonderful assurance. Turn with me to Proverbs 4. Because our Heavenly Father, in our training regime, has catered for all eventualities. God wants us to run the race. He wants us to succeed. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And what we have in Proverbs 4 is some comforting words to spur us on and to keep our levels of determinations up and high. Proverbs 4, verse 10, "Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom, and I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." And that's the divine assurance that we have, brothers and sisters, in our training regime. If we follow and receive these sayings in verse 10, and if we follow the way of wisdom in verse 11, and we take the right paths as part of our training, that God has given us the assurance that he will lead us in right paths. Our steps will not be straightened. And as we run, we will not stumble. They're really lovely words, aren't they? They're great encouragement. So in conclusion, I can safely say that, you know, God has called us to finish this race. He wants us to succeed. So let's be determined to remember the five D's: discipline, direction, dedication, diligence, and determination. And to do that by looking and fixing our gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the finishing line is coming soon. And if it's God's good grace, all of us in this room might be able to utter those words that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy, that all of us can say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." And that word course there is dromos. It's a race. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give me at that day, not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. So while we wait, let's keep that crown firmly in our gaze, brothers and sisters, and fix our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we are shortly to remember together, because he is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. So let's break bread together now and remember him in the manner of his appointing.